Welcome to River Life Podcasts. We're a church family embracing the Father's presence, releasing empowered people to declare and demonstrate Christ's kingdom. We trust that God would use what you hear today to bless and grow you so that you would be a blessing to those around you. For more information about River Life Baptist Church, go to riverlifechurch.org.au or find us on social media.
Well, happy Australia Day. I hope you had a good day. I hope you did something a little bit Aussie, you know. Maybe you got a McOzburger, or maybe you watched an old episode of Home and Away, or maybe you did a local, you know, burnout in your local intersection, something like that. But it's the last of our Anchored series tonight, and I'm really excited because I think they've saved the best topic for last, because tonight we're going to talk about the very Word of God, and which I think is super significant for us as believers, because all the way back in the beginning, long before the disciples rocked their Birkenstocks and their linen, long before we ever did, in the very, very beginning, the Bible says, was the Word. John 1 says that the Word was God and the Word was with God. You know, imagine that. People are always like, was it the chicken or was it the egg? It's like, no, it was the Word. It was the Word of God. The Word we just sung about. You were the Word in the beginning. Incredible, huh? That's our Creator. That's our Jesus that we're singing to tonight. He is all-powerful. He's amazing. And that same Word is here tonight to speak to you, if you're willing, if you're open, if you have, as Jesus said, if you have ears to hear, right, if you open your heart to Him. And as I was preparing for this message, I felt like the Lord actually showed me a picture of you all. And I felt like the Lord said that tonight, many of us in this room, from this point on, are going to be unlocked in hearing the voice of our shepherd. Some of us are going to hear the voice of our good shepherd for the very first time. And which is amazing, right? It's so, so good. And I even felt like that tonight there was breakthrough for people who think that their problem is totally unrelated to this topic. Like, you're like, how does that relate to the Word of God? But I felt like tonight that you're going to have breakthrough this year in 2020, and you'll trace it back to the fact that you took on this daily discipline of being in God's Word. So amen to that, huh? Amen to that. I also felt like He said that if you happen to check social media during the course of my message, that He'll have no choice but to strike you down in your seat. So just be aware of that as well, and just, you know, keep that phone away and keep your attention on me. I'm kidding. But I hope you've been enjoying this series so far. I hope you enjoyed Pastor Scott's word last week. That was such a timely word for our generation, right? It's so good. It's just not natural for us. And so, man, let's put these things in our calendar and let's set aside Sabbath and let's just watch the Lord move in our lives and in our families. So good. And how many of you have started to realize that in order for you to be a disciple requires discipline, right? In order for you to be a disciple, you actually have to exercise discipline. It's how this thing works. It makes sense when you look at the two words side by side, right? Pretty similar there. Wonder if there just might well be a connection. And when I was youth pastor, like I heard this story of a teacher and a young disciple. And this young disciple comes to his teacher. He says, "Teacher, what can I do to encounter the living God?" And the teacher says, "Well, about as much as you can do to make the sun come up." And the young disciple, puzzled, goes, "Why the heck do you get me to practice all these spiritual disciplines all the time then?" And the teacher, who pauses, kind of smiles back at him and says, "To make sure that you're not sleeping when the sun comes up." You know, see, these disciplines in our faith that we practice, they don't seem as exciting as the other disciplines that you probably wouldn't even realize is a discipline. Like I said, keep making sure your social media feed is up to date, making sure you're relevant, making sure you've got a good profile, the amount of time and effort and things we put into this as a habit and as a discipline every day. These disciplines that I'm talking about, these spiritual disciplines, are ones that actually ensure that we're ready for when our God makes a move. Because if there's one constant and common issue I hear in this generation, all the years I've been pastoring, it's, I don't see God at work in my life. I don't feel Him. I don't hear Him. He's not in the equation. But you know that the same sun comes up every single day. The same sun rises every single morning. But the question is, how many of us are actually alive and awake to see it happen, to experience it? I remember my pop, he would come over. He's a legend. He'd come over in the holidays and he'd always had this habit of waking up super early. I, on the other hand, you know, teenage Nick, rolled out of bed at like 8 o'clock in the morning with bad teenage breath and in search of Cocoa Pops. And he'd be like, well, good morning. You missed an amazing sunrise this morning. You know, he had the habit of getting up at 5 a.m., whereas I had the habit of late night video gaming, late night TV, and watching episodes of just mindless rubbish. But his discipline and priority of getting up early meant that he got to experience something that I didn't. That same opportunity existed for me, but I wasn't alive and I wasn't awake to even see it happen. And the truth is that our habits make for what inhabits us. Our habits and disciplines actually house our very lifestyles. They form and create it. And I want to propose to you that there's no more crucial discipline that we could apply to our lives than that of daily being in the Word of God. To be honest, it's that vital that I think it almost is a bit too cheap to just call it a spiritual discipline. It's too important. Engaging God through His Word is not like us trying to stay on track with exercise. It's not like trying to be healthy. We're talking about communion with the God that we follow. We're talking about actually knowing Him for real. And the whole point being this transformation unto us being His disciples here on the earth. And I've seen so many Christians over the years struggle to connect with Jesus because they disregard the content of Jesus. They struggle to connect with Jesus without the content of Jesus. And we simply cannot follow this master rabbi, this master teacher, without the very inspired content that He has purposefully given us. And believe me, I speak from experience. I've tried to do it. I've tried to do it. Even as a pastor, constantly surrounded by all this, right? Surrounded by the amazing staff we have, the resources on hand, the programs. But personally, you know, trying to just get by with a little bit here and there, a few crumbs, right? Amongst all my Netflix seasons, amongst my F45 membership, don't judge me. Amongst all the cafe hangs and socials, all that stuff, right? And even though we might all have our regular favorite Christian worship Spotify playlist that we go to, it only goes so far. It only goes so far. The reality is, if we're not being discipled, not being shaped by His words, then we're being discipled and shaped by something else. Because we become like what we surround ourselves with. We know this. We become like whatever we feed on, whatever we continue to just eat, we end up reproducing. And the way that Jesus set this up, He must have known this, because the way He set it up was to have His discipleship in our lives for a lifetime, for a whole lifetime, not as a one moment I get saved and then from then on I just start drifting away. When we get saved, it's like the beginning. It's like it's day one. It's like welcome to a new reality, welcome to a new world. From now into eternity, you're going to be discipled by the master rabbi, and it's going to give you life and life to the full. So in light of all that, how about we get into His Word tonight? Yeah? Would you turn to Deuteronomy 8 with me? And does anyone here remember the days of memory verses? Yeah? Any Kids Holiday Club people out there? Yeah, so good. Man, when I came to Kids Holiday Club here, they took memory verses to a next level, let me say. Like Jake Walkup, who's here somewhere, he was putting like Bible text to rap lyrics and tunes and stuff. It's amazing that we didn't get sued for copyright, you know, but like I still, those things stick with me. And man, tonight there's not going to be a rap, but we will get a bit old school. Oh, I do remember one though, like that Jake did. It was, what was it? It was like, if you confess your sins, He is faithful and just to forgive you from all your sins and to cleanse you from your unrighteousness. 1 John 1:9. 1 John 1:9. 1 John 1:9. How good's that? like I said, Salento just keeps emailing, you know, being like, guys, you've ripped me off, but then Kanye tells him to be quiet, so we're all good. Okay, Deuteronomy 8, 1 to 3. Be careful to follow every command I'm giving you today, so that you may live and increase and may enter and possess the land the Lord God promised on oath to your ancestors. Remember how the Lord your God led you all the way in the wilderness these 40 years to humble and test you in order to know what was in your heart, whether or not you would keep his commands. He humbled you, causing you to hunger and then feeding you with manna, which neither you nor your ancestors had known, to teach you that man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. And this is where we're going to do a little bit of memory verse just to imprint this on our minds. Okay, I'm just going to get that last verse put up on the screen, and we're just going to say this, okay? Say this out loud. Man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. Deuteronomy 8:3. Let's say it again. Man does not live, but on that comes from Deuteronomy 8:3. One more time. Man. Deuteronomy 8:3. Good job. Awesome. You all get sparkly pencils and slinkies at the end. Pastor John's going to give them to you personally. But this passage in Deuteronomy, it's referring to the time after the Exodus, okay? After the Israelites are set free from captivity. They're set free from their slave drivers. Man, oh man, kind of like us when we're being born again. We're like, oh man, I get to leave my old life and here I am. But despite that, they're still failing to daily keep his word. They're still failing to daily keep his commands and walk in his ways. And so as a result, they're not experiencing the promises of God. Instead, they're wandering around. They're just wandering and wandering. And they're hungry. And they're disappointed. And I would be too after 40 plus days. But God in his mercy, he's able to speak forth, you know, this same God, the God that did create the chicken and the egg, right? He responds to their situation by supernaturally creating something that they've never experienced before. He provides this unique edible substance known as manna. It tasted like wafers and honey, and it literally fell from the sky that people could actually eat and actually survive off. It's incredible, you know? Imagine like the overpriced superfood acai just raining down out in the middle of the desert when you're so hungry. And at the end of this passage that we read, it said that this whole process unfolded for God to test what was in their hearts. And he was trying to teach them that they don't live on bread alone. They live on every word that comes from his mouth. And for a people who knew how important bread was to stay alive, who were part of a culture and a community, who went to great lengths to ensure that bread was available for families. Right, they didn't have Baker's Delight back then, all right? Didn't have Brumbies on every corner. Who knew the amount of effort and time just to produce one loaf of bread from scratch and by hand. And God was showing them that they live off every word that he speaks. That he speaks and gives life. His words, listening to his voice, is what they're missing. That he is where their eyes and ears need to be every day. Hanging on every word that he speaks. And whilst this might seem relatively straightforward to us as we read this verse, this was actually a confronting comparison and truth to convey. Because we need to remember for this people that bread was not just a food. Bread was life. It's not like God was saying, hey, my people, you can't live off Krispy Kremes or Nodos anymore. Rather, eat some vegan zoodles, have a kale smoothie instead. It's much healthier for you. As if his words are just some healthier alternative. Like, it'll be good for your life. You should do it. For us today, we need to know that it was so much more of a deal than that. The fact that bread wasn't simply an option and something that was easily acquired. In 2020, bread is just a take it or leave it dish, right? It's a side dish. Comes with everything. It's free at most restaurants. I was at Vapiano's after the city prayer gathering, ordered my pasta, and boom, bread just appears. It's just part of it. It didn't taste very good at all, but it was there. You know, remember the days of Sizzler, that never-ending cheesy toast, right? Just kept coming and coming. May it rest in peace, okay? But it's always available. It's just there. It's left on the table, crumbs and all. It's not the main meal. It's not important. There's now more and more gluten and wheat-related allergies, right? Bread has become bad news for a lot of people. Most of the bread that we consume contains truckloads of commercial yeast. It contains preservatives, sugars, chemicals that you wouldn't believe. And much of it being shipped in and flowing in from overseas even, right? Many of you might remember that Coles was fined over $2.5 million for claiming to bake their bread fresh in store, but instead they were baking it in an aisle and freezing it and then flying it in, but like baked and fresh, right? And as a result of all these things in our world today, in our experience, when we reference not living on bread alone, doesn't seem like a very difficult argument to me. No thanks, you know? But in Egyptian culture, in this part of the world we're reading about, the word for bread is the word aish, which also is the word that means life. It's long been understood in this culture as the component and the substance of life. Because did you know that in one little grain, one little kernel of wheat, there's actually enough minerals, there's enough carbohydrates, there's enough protein to fully sustain life. To fully sustain life in that one little grain. Isn't that amazing how God made it that way? You wouldn't think it, right? Incredible. All jammed up in that tiny, assuming little thing is enough to actually sustain life for all of us. It's so valued that in countries, there's even unwritten rules and laws. Like in the country of Morocco, it's actually forbidden to take knife to bread because it's considered a violent act. Right? They break it with their hands. Crazy, right? And when we see God talking about bread here in this passage, he's not simply making reference to another physical food. It goes deeper than that. He's talking about bread because he knows that bread was life. Bread was everything. And to his own chosen people, he decided it was time to say, I'm elevating the absolute necessity of my word above this very life source. I'm elevating the necessity of my word. And as believers here in 2020, God wants to remind us again of what we ultimately need to live this faith. There's a saying that says famine always follows misused abundance. And like bread today, his words here among us in all our versions of the Bible, all our different forms and shapes and sizes, it's accessible to us all the time. What our God has spoken, what he's speaking, what he says is ahead, it's all been given to us. It's come out, right? It's on the table. And no one here, right? No one here would ever deny that reading your Bible is not good for you. No one here, if you're a believer, no one would deny that his word is important. The correct answer was always, read your Bible, right? Read more of the word. But perhaps somewhere along the way, I think that maybe we've deceived ourselves into thinking that we can actually live out our faith each day without it. The statistics would certainly suggest this to us. The Bible Society survey that came out in 2019, recent survey, said that just 9% of millennial Christians are in the Word of God every day. 9%. We're on average clocking up all-time highs on social media of up to 3 hours per day across the course of the day, from the morning we wake up when we roll over and we grab that thing, and then we read it on the toilet, which I know you all do. You're gross. I'm kidding. In our lunch breaks, and then at night as well, we're on these networks and we're just clocking up hours and hours. But just 9% of Christian millennials are in the Word of God every day. Another survey for Bible engagement showed that those who were reading their Bible just a couple times a week saw pretty much a negligible effect. It wasn't much of a change. They couldn't really tell a significant difference from those couple times. But those other participants who were engaging in the Word 4 or more times a week reported significant impacts, not only in their state of mind and their wellness and how they felt, how their lifestyle was unfolding. But get this, these people who read their Bible 4 or more times a week were 200% more likely to share their faith with someone. They were 230% more likely to disciple someone. Now, forgive me for being elementary here, but those two things we just talked about, is that not what the Great Commission is? That we would go into all the world and that we would make disciples of all nations? How do we expect to do that? And I'm not up here trying to heap condemnation on us. It would be un-Australian of me on Australia Day, okay? But I do think it's the perfect moment to stop and just say we can't play games anymore with the Word of God. This, it can't just be a casual second. If we want to be a believer, if we want to follow Christ, it can't just be an option, a part of your balanced lifestyle anymore. It has to be the priority. It has to be what you crave. It has to be what we feed off. This is the very Word of God that gives us life. Our faith depends on Him speaking to us. We were designed to hear His voice. Jesus said that. He said, "My sheep, you and me, right? My sheep, they hear my voice, they know me, and they follow me. My sheep, they hear my voice, they know me, and they follow me." How do we expect to hear? How do we expect to hear when we, at the moment, are just getting by on crumbs and we're just getting by on a little bit here and there? How do we expect to know Him? How do we expect to be formed by Him when we're neglecting the way that He set things up for us? I know how easily it happens. I know how easily it can just become our new normal. But I think tonight we need to just stop and look in the mirror for just a second and reflect on what this is saying to us. You know, I had terrible anxiety in my teenage years, from day one of grade 8 till grade 11, if I can remember. Really shocking, you know, went to psychologists and GPs and even tried hypnosis, forgive me, Pastor Eric. But just whatever I could do to like get over this perpetual anxiety that was there. You know, every day I'd go to school, I'd just be anxious. And so I got into the habit of not eating breakfast because of how sick I felt. And of just, you know, Mum would come out and be like, "You want breakfast?" And I'd be like, no, I'm too anxious. And so this went on for months. And how many of you know that when you don't eat for a long time, you just get used to it. It just becomes your new normal. Like I could go for just almost a whole day without really eating, just like a little bit of sugar here or there. But it just became my new normal throughout those years. You know, until I was saved and born again, praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is a peace that surpasses understanding. If you have anxiety tonight, know that. Know that for yourself. Because I did it in my life and I'm not special. But I just got used to a new way of like not eating and I go for months and I didn't even crave anything different. It's not like I'd walk in and smell food and be like, "Oh yes, I want that." It was quite the opposite actually. And in a likewise fashion, as we just heard, it has now become normal in our culture that 91% of millennial Christians are not eating breakfast every day, right? They're not eating every day. They're not getting into the Word of God. They're not sinking their teeth into that. You chat to people who say, "Well, I don't remember what I read. It's too much. Like, what's the point? I don't remember." But again, I bet you don't remember what you had for breakfast two Fridays ago. But it nourished you. It gave you food that day. It fed your soul. It fed you. His incredible word is life to us every single day because it's Him that we're communing with. His word is a highway to Him. It's like direct access to Him. We're not just talking about a text here. We're not just talking about info. We're talking about something that you should read. We're talking about a living encounter every time you open the pages. You're opening yourself up to the Spirit of God, the Spirit from the beginning, to speak to you, to inject life into you, to transform you. It's so vital for us. You know, Romans 10:17 tells us that faith comes from hearing and hearing from the Word of God. Let me say that again. Faith comes from hearing and hearing from the Word of God. If our faith is connected to how much we're hearing, how's our faith? How's our faith going in this place? I know we don't often like to ask this question. We don't like to look at it. But how's our faith really going? How do you feel? You know, how's your assurance of things that you hope for? How's your conviction of things not seen? How's that going in you? I'm not just talking about a general faith. We believe in God. We believe He's there. I'm talking about the assurance and conviction of His kingdom, of the reality we're called to live out as His disciples and His followers. Maybe, just maybe, there's a connection going on here with what we're seeing God do, how we're seeing Him move amongst us, and how little we know in ourselves. If we're just being real, how little we know we're in the Word of God and how much we're prioritizing other things. We've been designed to live on every word that comes from His mouth. Our faith that we have comes from hearing His words. Psalm 119 says that His word is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. If you think about that, it's showing us the way. It's showing us what's ahead. There's a light on our path. Boom, there it is, clear as day. Not only that, but as we walk every day, He's a lamp. He's guiding us. He's going around. His word is doing that to you. Isn't that amazing? I think that's just incredible. Ephesians 6 tells us that His word is the sword of the Spirit. Sword of the Spirit in our lives. Do you know that every other piece of armor we've been given is defensive? Do you know that we have a helmet, a breastplate, we have a belt, we have shoes, all that? You know, the only thing that we can actually use, the only thing that isn't just there to protect us from the fiery darts of the enemy, it's our sword, right? That's the thing we can actually swing and take ground with. And it says the sword of the Spirit is the Word of God. Amazing. It's so powerful. When you declare it, oh man, look out, enemy. And last year, you know, the Holy Spirit was just layering conviction upon me, right? Like conviction upon conviction upon conviction. I'd read these passages, yet still like the Israelites, I just go on with my normal. You know, how many of you know we can do that? Just consume with life. And it's not like we're doing anything wrong. We're not living in sin. We're not necessarily backsliding. But we're not engaging with Him in the way that He intended either. And I remember reading our passage in Deuteronomy. And I just felt this conviction and this voice that I know to be His voice. And I felt like He said to me, every day you're not in My word is a day that you're not alive in Me. Every day you're not in the Word is a day that you're not alive in your faith in Me. And it just smashed me, right? Hebrews 4, it says that the Word of God is like sharper than a two-edged sword. It pierces, dividing soul and spirit, right? It's like, oh, man. So it's supposed to hurt us. It's supposed to cut us from time to time. It's not always super rosy, right? It's like it cuts you to discipline you. It cuts you to expose what's actually going on. And it was exposing me last year. It was like, ugh, you know, this is where you're really at. He said, every day you're not in My word is a day you're not alive in Me. I was like, you're right. You're right. I know what's possible in you. I've read the stories. I've seen the testimonies. And I'm not seeing that in my life. I'm not feeling it. I can call it a desert season. I can call it wilderness. But I know that I'm spending hours going to gym. I'm spending hours hanging out with people. I'm doing all the other stuff, watering my lawn, making it look beautiful. All that stuff. But I'm not in His word. And I had to get to the point of no longer being okay. Of no longer just having the Lord of my life, my Savior, come second place. So for me, I decided to just, I deleted Instagram. Boom. Took about 3 seconds. Bam. I deleted it because for me, that was the first thing I was turning to in the mornings. So just habit, roll over. Pull out that Instagram, scroll, you know, scroll. Look at, you know, and there's nothing necessarily wrong with that, right? We want community, we want to connect with people. But for me, it was getting in the way. For me, it was an idol. As much as I really enjoyed it, I had to get to the point of saying, this just isn't as important to me as my faith. And so whatever I'm going to miss out on, I count it all loss. Count it all loss. I don't care. I don't give a rip. Because declaring that I was one of His sheep but not ever hearing His voice was a lie. Declaring that I was one of His sheep but never hearing His voice, going through seasons of like not hearing Him speak to me and saying, yeah, I'm part of His flock. It was a lie in my life. And I had to be real with that. Can we just be real for a moment? I know this is church, right? You're supposed to do the right thing. Get your church face on. Can we be real? When was the last time you heard the voice of your shepherd? My sheep, they hear my voice, they know me, and they follow me. I was following a lot of other people. I could probably tell you what many people in this room get up to with their life through this thing, but I couldn't tell you what he was up to. Couldn't tell you what he was doing. Couldn't tell you what he was speaking. And we're meant to be set apart as Christians. We're meant to be set apart as believers in him. We can't just blend in like the world. We can't just blend in. We were never meant to be that way. We're meant to be set apart as his people, living off every word that he says, having this incredible faith that comes from hearing. And that's not just for a select few. You're his disciple. You're one of his sheep. When he saved you from the wolves. He brought you into his flock. And as he walks on ahead, right, we play our part. We either choose to follow or we go a different way. But we can't kid ourselves, right? Let's not put that much weight on grace. Let's not just toss grace to the ground and say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you for that one powerful moment, that one night when I prayed the prayer. But it just kind of drifted away and dwindled from there. Come on, can we just be real, right? Yeah? Like, can we let the word of God just pierce us a little tonight? Are you hearing his voice? Are you one of his sheep? It was meant to be the norm. And as a result of just this one definitive choice that I made in my life, I now no longer roll over in my bed and check feeds. I get up, I relieve my bladder, and then I open the word of God. Open his word. I see the sun come up. I see the sunrise. It's amazing. It's incredible. When you read what is possible for you as a Christian, oh my Lord, seriously, when you read what your life can look like, it's incredible. It's worth time daily letting his words transform you, engaging with them, reading them, even when you don't understand. Going, hey, you know what? This is a spiritual book. This book divides me to my soul. So thank you, Lord. In faith this morning, I receive just even this time with you. And I'm going to come back. I'm going to revisit this passage tomorrow. You know, I think many of us, we just need to stay in Matthew. Just stay there and just read it and read it and read it until he speaks. Until he speaks. Because there's no point in just having information. There's no point in just having good content, right? Let him speak to you. Let him transform you. You know, we're supposed to bear fruit in keeping with repentance. So let's bear the fruit that comes out of these books that show us what it means to live as a follower of Jesus, as one of his disciples. Man, it's so good and it's so accessible to all of us. He made it so simple. He is such a merciful God. He made the gospel so simple for us to follow. He took carpenters, he took people that, you know, were just fishermen and others and people that all around him and saying, come follow me, hey, come follow me. Everyone's counted in. I'm going to teach you in parables. I'm going to speak to you in ways that you understand. And that doesn't change. He doesn't change. He's still doing that today. He wants to speak to you in ways that you understand, out of his inspired word coming out to you, piercing your heart, transforming you. It's not complicated. It's really not. It's right there. So what lie are we believing with this word? Is it not enough? Do we not think it's crucial or important? We can't live the normal Christian life without it. We just can't. I'm sorry. I wish we could. You know, the thing with that manna is that the manna that God rained down, do you know that there was only a certain amount of time that they could collect it? Before it went old, and my year last year, you know, I was living off stale bread, trying to like eat manna that was there from ages ago. So what's the Holy Spirit saying to you tonight about your life in relation to his word? I'm praying that you're stirred with conviction. I'm praying that you're stirred to just do something about it. It's very simple. It's plainly there. As I said, that verse, We don't live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. You've probably heard that before. Maybe you remember Jesus quoting that to slap the devil in the face. Same exact same words in Matthew 4. I don't live on bread alone. I live on every word that comes from the mouth of God. What's the Spirit saying to you? What are you going to do? I pray that not hearing his voice would not be okay for you anymore. That you wouldn't settle for that as normal Christianity. That you would go, this is what I was designed for. This is what he paid a price for. And we put so much effort into so many other things that at the end of the day, they all go back in the box. They all go back on the shelf. All our greatest pursuits. We walk on with him, lighting the way. We walk on with him to a glorious eternity. And I just want to conclude with a story. A story that I hope will motivate us and inspire us with this. It's a well-known story of a man who comes to Jesus in Matthew 17. And I was reading this just this week and I felt like God said, this is what's possible for you. This is what I'm trying to get at. And it's the story of a man whose son is unwell. He comes to Jesus. He says, Lord, have mercy on my son. He has seizures. He's suffering greatly. He often falls into the fire or into water. And I brought him to your disciples, but they could not heal him. And Jesus said, you unbelieving and perverse generation, how long shall I stay with you? How long shall I put up with you? Bring the boy here to me. And Jesus rebuked the demon. It came out of the boy, and he was healed in that very moment. And then in verse 19, then the disciples came to Jesus in private and asked, why couldn't we drive it out? He replied, because you have such little faith. Truly, I tell you, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move. Nothing will be impossible for you. The disciples, they couldn't heal this boy who was being tormented. They go to Jesus later and they ask him, why couldn't we? How many of us have asked that question before? You know, why didn't that happen? Why? What's going on here? And he says to them in this moment, because you have such little faith. He goes on to say that if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, move. And nothing will be impossible for you. And remember, these are the very followers that not long before had said, we know who you are, Jesus. Some say you're Elijah, some say you're John, but we know who you are. We say that you're Christ, you're the Son of the living God. Their faith in him was present, right? They knew who he was. But even here, Jesus says, you didn't have enough faith. You need just a mustard seed. It's about 1 to 2 millimeters, tiny. Tiny little thing. If you have faith like that, you would have been able to do this. This would not have been impossible for you. If faith comes from hearing from the Word of God, I think we have an incredible resource. I think we have access to something that the world is desperately asking of us. That even Jesus himself is asking of us, that will he find faith when he returns on the earth? You know, one discipline that you can commit to above any other discipline in your life that's going to grow your faith. It's going to increase it. It's getting in his word. It's hearing his voice. It's living off that. And we have access to it so freely, right? Come on. We have access to it. It's right there. It is right there every day. It's on every phone. It's at Coorong. It's not far. Spend more money on our jeans, right? It's right there. We're not in China. This is not the underground. Do you know in China that in the persecuted church, they rip off pages out of scripture and they pass them around families, and families memorize the scripture and then they hide them and they pass it on. They crave this stuff. They just eat and feed off it and feed off it. It is life to them. It is everything to them. I think we could learn something. Because people here are facing cancer. People here are facing torment. People here are looking in search of answers and hope. And in this community, we can play our part by daily being in his word, by hearing his voice, so that that same voice, when it speaks to us when you're in your workplace, when it speaks to you when you're out on the street, you can respond in obedience and see him do incredible things through you, like you were designed, like you're intended. The greater things than Jesus would do, that you and I would do, right? The same sun is going to come up for us all tomorrow morning. Same sun's going to be there. It's going to rise. Will you go another day asleep? Will you miss another breakfast? Will you come alive like never before? The shepherd wants to speak to you. He wants you to hear his voice. It's amazing.
Thanks for listening to this River Life podcast. Make sure you subscribe to keep up to date with all the latest content. If this podcast has raised any questions for you, contact us via church@riverlifechurch.org.au or through Facebook and Instagram. Thanks for listening.